Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of compelling legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as legal advice. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. Please enjoy the program.
Welcome everyone to episode 13 of the Ogletree Global Solutions Series. My name is Justin Tarker. I'm an employment lawyer based in Ogletree's London office. And presenting today's podcast with me is my colleague Ryan.
Hi everyone, Ryan Martin here from the Montreal office in Canada.
As we can all appreciate, the pandemic has led to big increases in unemployment in most countries. As many businesses, or nearly all businesses, have been forced to shut or reduce their workforce in some form. And in today's episode, we're going to discuss the approach or various governments have taken to try to safeguard jobs by subsidizing workers' wages, their incomes, and by increasing benefits in some cases for those that are unemployed. And many of the policies adopted to support those jobs and incomes have been broadly similar and are usually in the form of some type of salary or wage support to incentivize employers to keep workers on their books, so to speak, and to only consider dismissals as a last resort. And that's been the main aim of those policies, which have been adopted in many countries. However, there are some differences which we'll touch on later on. I think it's probably helpful to briefly discuss the different or the contrast in approaches that's been taken in different countries. So on the face of it, like I said, a lot of these policies are very similar. However, there are some key differences, mainly that in some countries, the government has only subsidized wages for hours that an employee is no longer working. So anytime spent not working or away from the workplace, which is the case, for example, in the UK and in Denmark or Germany, for example, the employer will step in, so to speak, and pay at least a proportion of that individual's wages. And I think we can contrast that, Ryan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, with countries like Australia and Canada, and indeed the US as well, where any subsidies are based on an assessment or at least an assessment to some extent of any decrease in turnover that a company might be experiencing. Ryan, I think that's the position in Canada. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, Canada took the approach. It was actually a two-prong approach. Before they even implemented the wage subsidy per se, Canada decided to first react by changing or creating a new program that was called the Canada Emergency Response Benefit. This was just really essentially a simplified unemployment insurance scheme. So basically, it provided that, you know, any individual that couldn't work because of COVID or who was laid off as a result of COVID would receive $500 a week for up to 16 weeks. So essentially, they took out all the, you know, the difficult criteria that used to be used to assess if someone was eligible for unemployment insurance and basically said, across the board, everyone's getting the same thing.
So that's not dependent on if you earn a particular wage, everyone gets $500. It's not up to $500. It's just that's the base.
Exactly. It was for any individual who, you know, was laid off or couldn't work due to COVID, they were getting $500. It didn't matter, you know, how much you earned prior to being laid off.
Okay.
So the issue with this sort of program was that the government in Canada quickly realized that, you know, a lot of people were applying for the program. In fact, millions of people were applying for this program. So they realized that, you know, a lot of people were going to be off of work and they had to find a solution to try to get people back on the payroll. So what they did was they created a new program that's similar to the programs you were describing before that was a wage subsidy for employers. So the program, which is called the Canada Emergency Wage Subsidy, the CEWS, essentially was designed to encourage employers to call back employees from their layoffs or to at the very least keep individuals on the payroll so that, you know, they would still have an employment relationship. And to do so, the government essentially offered to pay 75% of wages that an employee was paid during, you know, fixed periods of time up to a maximum of $847 a week. So the plan was, you know, if employers had kept people on payroll, they would be reimbursed for up to 75% of that individual's salary. So the plan was employers would get this, you know, benefit or this compensation if they kept employees on the payroll. It sort of had a perverse effect, but we'll get into that a little later.
Okay. Well, just briefly, in the UK, our scheme is an example of the first point or the first type that I mentioned earlier. So it's a coronavirus job retention scheme, which has been in place for a number of months now and is due to end at the end of October, on October 31st. And essentially, for any time, or for employers had the option to furlough staff. And during that time, it's changed recently, but during that time, employees weren't allowed to do any work or any substantive work. And the government would subsidize up to 80% of their wages, subject to a cap of $2,500. Now, that's changed a bit recently. So the position now is that the government will subsidize in September 70% of employees' wages, and the employer has to pay the extra 10%. And then next month in October, the government's contribution will reduce to 60%, and employers have to top up the extra 20%. And like Ryan indicated earlier, that's the fact that the scheme is due to end soon has led to a lot more activity. And in some cases, a lot of the main employers or major employers announcing planned redundancies in the next few weeks. And then another scheme that the government has announced recently is that trying to incentivize employees to keep their staff is they have promised that any employees who are retained until at least the 31st of January 2021, employees will receive a payment of £1,000 per employee. So that's just another example of a subsidy that's been introduced. And in the UK, we didn't have, so those subsidies, you weren't prevented, or you aren't prevented from dismissing employees. And we can contrast that approach with stricter nations, so to speak. So I'm aware that Spain, at least for a significant period, it wasn't possible to dismiss employees if you were taking advantage of government subsidies. Another example where that type of approach applies is the Netherlands, which has a NOW or NOW scheme, or NOW 2.0 as it is now, which I understand is due to end at the end of this month. And that's based on the second type of subsidy I initially mentioned. So it's you're eligible for it if you can show a decrease of, I understand, at least 20% in turnover over a four-month period. And if you can show that, you are eligible for the subsidy. However, if you do make redundancies, so in the Netherlands, you have to apply for permission to their labor court in many instances to before you can make someone redundant. And if you do start that process, you potentially suffer a 90% penalty. So 90% of that subsidy will be removed. And if you are contemplating collective dismissals, so that's where there's 20 or more employees involved, you may have an additional 5%, so 95% penalty in total. So before we talk about the impact of the various subsidies, I think it's worth briefly touching on some examples of countries who've extended their existing subsidies programs. And I think, Ryan, we were discussing an example of Germany earlier.
Yeah, in fact, Germany's program was similar to some of the ones you went over before, in the sense that Germany introduced what they called the short-time work program. That's essentially, you know, when an employee's working hours or and salary, for that matter, are reduced, the short-time work program compensated employees up to 60 to 67%, depending on the employee's circumstances, of net salary for the days they were off from work. And the government just recently announced that this program is actually going to be extended until December 31st, 2021. So it's interesting because that's not, you know, what we've been seeing typically in other countries is, you know, extensions that are, you know, a few months at a time. And Germany has taken a bigger approach and said, we're extending our program until 2021, or the end of 2021, I should say. No legislation's been passed yet, so it's not official. But from what we understand, it's going to happen sometime in the near future.
Then maybe they know something about the virus. The rest of us don't.
Well, you know, it certainly seems like they're taking a more progressive approach than some of the other countries around the world. Just to briefly end on Germany, I would just say that the program itself, you know, an employer can benefit from it for up to 21 months now. And that obviously that 21-month period has to come to an end at the latest December 31st, 2021. Similarly, Singapore's taken an approach not as, you know, drastic, if we will, as Germany, but they've extended their subsidy program, the JSS program, up until March 2021. So they've still extended it by, you know, quite some time. However, not as long as what Germany did, that's for sure. Yeah. Essentially, I don't know if you're familiar with Singapore's JSS program, but it's basically... it's a mix of what we just discussed before, because an employer doesn't have to apply for this wage subsidy. So the government basically pays out between 25 to 75%, depending on the sector of activity, of the first 4,600 of gross monthly wages paid out to each local employee. So the government is basically giving, you know, employers a check after, you know, a certain pay period. And the employers are sort of left to figure out, you know, what do we do with this money? Do we have to pay off employees' wages? You know, technically it's supposed to be used for the employee, but there's some nuance in terms of how the money needs to be used. So it's creating some difficulties. And
that's interesting. So you don't have to make an application. The government just gives you the money and it's not completely clear what you have to use it for.
Yeah, basically. And the issue is that if you don't use the money correctly, even though there's no clear guideline as to what you're allowed to use the money for, the government can then revoke your work pass privilege, which is essentially a work authorization. So the consequences are pretty severe, you know, for a guideline that's, you know, in the gray zone at best.
Interesting. Interesting. And then briefly, I noticed Brazil, there was a royal decree announced last week, I believe, which allowed, so their subsidy or temporary arrangement allows for a reduction in hours, wages, or temporary suspension of employment contracts. And they've extended the period that can be done for to up to 180 days. So that's another example of an extension. And that was, I believe, was announced recently last week. And then moving on to, and I think in particular in Canada, there have been some new benefit programs and subsidies announced. Is that correct?
Yeah, Justin. Canada actually also not only created new programs, but also extended its old programs that we just discussed before, like the CERB and the CEWS. But what's interesting is the new benefits that are on the table. So essentially, Canada created what they're calling the Canada Recovery Benefit. This is really for people that are in the gig economy or independent contractors who wouldn't be eligible for classic, you know, unemployment insurance, or EI as we call it in Canada. So this is going to provide them with $400 a week up to 26 weeks. So this is a new benefit for those individuals that previously weren't protected by employment insurance. The second one, which is an interesting one as well, it's going to cause a few headaches for employers, is the Canada Recovery Sickness Benefit. This is $500 a week for up to 2 weeks, and it has to be due to illness related to COVID-19. I mean, I know we're going to talk about some of the implications for employers later, but I just want to specify for this one in particular that with flu season coming around the corner relatively quickly, and knowing that some of the symptoms for the flu are similar, if not the same, for COVID, I can foresee, or we can, you know, take a good educated guess that a lot of individuals are going to be entitled to this benefit when they simply have the flu. So it's going to be a bit of a headache for employers to figure out who's going to be allowed to leave and take this benefit and who's not.
And do you, as far as you know, is it a case of, is there a particular test an employee has to get, or they just think they've got a particular illness and then they told the employer?
Well, you know, the legislation itself hasn't come out for the benefits. This is just a government announcement. Okay. So the terms, conditions, and all that is not clear yet. I would hope that there would be, you know, some structure around who's entitled and who isn't. However, you know, as we've seen from the previous benefits, these things come out so quickly that a lot of the times you see that, you know, they haven't gone into the really granular details. So I'm assuming it's going to be pretty open-ended. And lastly, the newest benefit that's been put on the table is the Canada Recovery Caregiver Benefit. This is going to allow one individual per household to stay home to care for a child or dependent whose care facility or school is closed. And that's $500 a week for up to 26 weeks. So we could see that's like a really topic of the day, in the sense that all the schools have been reopening here. And we've already been seeing some, you know, students being sent home because there's a positive case of COVID, you know, in their classrooms. So we can foresee that a number of parents are going to be able to use this benefit to stay at home and care for their child.
Okay, that's interesting. Our children, or children in the UK, for the most part, have gone back today, I believe. So I'd be interested to see, well, hopefully, I'm not wishing that anyone, there are any increases in COVID cases, but it'd be interesting to see if our government has to implement a similar scheme if that does become the case.
Well, I mean, it's definitely something that, if Canada's any example, so far, everywhere where schools have opened, there have been some issues. So, I mean, I think it would be, you know, naive to think that there won't be any in the UK.
So in conclusion, I think it's worth... I'd be interested to hear your view on whether you think these subsidies on the whole have worked or achieved the intended initial aim of staving off or preventing any dismissals. In the UK, I would say on the whole, it's been very helpful for individuals in the meantime, but my overall impression is that it's led to a lot of hidden redundancies. And recently in the news, we've had a lot of, or a few, large-scale redundancies announced by some of the major employers. So unfortunately, it looks like as we're coming to the end of the period of the scheme, it looks like there may be a lot of redundancies to come in the next few weeks or months. I don't know if you have a similar perspective from your end.
The way I see it, honestly, is it's very similar in Canada. It was good for employees temporarily to, you know, get them through the difficult periods. But I sort of see this as that, you know, meme picture we see on the internet sometimes of a guy, you know, slapping a piece of tape on a broken water tank, you know, as if that's going to be a good enough fix, you know, to solve the problem. But unfortunately, I think the tank's about to burst, and, you know, a lot of people are unfortunately going to be, you know, laid off and if not otherwise dismissed from their jobs, even though these programs, you know, still exist. On that note, Justin, I think that, you know, we've gone over most of the countries we wanted to discuss today. Some really interesting, you know, contrasts between country approaches that we've seen. And I want to thank everyone for joining us for this episode. We hope you appreciated it. And please stay tuned next week for another interesting topic.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.